as we welcome Anthony Lowenstein, independent journalist and author of The Palestine Laboratory. Anthony knows a bit about the area up there in Israel, and it looks as though war's on, Anthony, doesn't it? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Look, it does, and it's been a pretty shocking 24 hours, to be honest. I'm in Sydney now, but I was living in East Jerusalem for many years, 2016 to 2020, and I've been have reported from Israel and Palestine and Gaza over the years. Look, it's grim, and I think, you know, the context that's often missed from so much of the coverage that we read about this, and I say this as someone who is Jewish myself, I'm not religious, but I'm a secular Jew, is that so often we see it very much as Israel defending itself, Palestinians being horrible terrorists, killing Israelis. I'm not for a second defending killing civilians. I never have, and I've condemned it for years over the years, now regardless of who does it. But the context for this is a decades-long occupation. Israel's been occupying Palestinian territory for over half a century. And I think most people in the West, including here, don't really sort of understand what that means in a practical sense. It controls where you go, who you speak to, who you can even date, who you can marry, where you can travel, where you can't travel. The number of Palestinians, for example, who have been killed this year by Israel, civilians I'm talking about, is the highest for decades. And that's the kind of context for this. So I think that's the thing often is forgotten.
Anthony, why now? Given, as you say, it's gone for decades, why now? Do you reckon?
Well, on one hand, obviously, I can't get inside the head of Hamas, for better or worse. But I think why now? A few different reasons. One, Gaza has been suffering under a close to 20-year siege. And every two or three years, listeners will remember, there's kind of a flare-up. There's a sort of war of sorts that lasts for a few weeks between Israel and Gaza. No one ever wins, and they kind of go back to their entrenched positions. This time, I think there is a sense that many, many Arab countries that traditionally you would expect to be allies of the Palestinians, I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, etc., they've all become allies of Israel. And as I talk about in my new book, a lot of that is because they want the most sophisticated surveillance technology to essentially go after their own dissidents. Now, the reason that's relevant here is Palestinians feel like no one is supporting them. Like, in other words, how are they being heard? Now, I'm not saying that the way it's being done now is the only way to be heard, but the truth is that much of the Arab leadership, not the Arab world, the Arab leadership over the years, particularly in the last 5 or 10 years, has turned their back. And this is a way to say you cannot, as in what Hamas would be saying, you cannot befriend Israel and think that the occupation can simply go on without a price being paid. So this, I think, is really Hamas and many Palestinians saying to the world, you cannot forget us.
And Anthony, it seems very well organised, almost like a form of an invasion. Are you surprised the Israelis didn't appear to be aware it was about to happen?
Well, didn't appear to be aware of it at all. I mean, that side of it is surprising. I mean, Israel promotes itself as one of the most sophisticated militaries in the world with amazing surveillance technology on all its borders. And yet this can happen. So that's going to be interesting to see how that was missed. But I think also it shows that this year, as some listeners will be aware, Israel has elected its most far-right fascist government, like literally people in the Israeli government who call for ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. That's the level of extremism we're talking about. And what's happened this year is that Israel has put so many of its troops in the West Bank, which is near Gaza but not in Gaza. And therefore, apparently, from what we can understand, and people, I've been speaking to friends in Gaza in the last 24 hours and also friends in Israel, that a lot of the borders were not manned, they were, but they were not as protected as they once were. And I think that just gives you, I think, a sense. And I think also, finally, that it really, I think, shows that so many Western countries, including here, Australia, in the last 24 hours, Penny Wong, Foreign Minister, Albanese, the Prime Minister, have come out and condemned it and what Hamas has been doing. And that's to be expected. But there's no, again, no comment about Palestinians, no comment about occupation. There's a reason why in the Labor Party, and I'm not a member of the Labor Party or any political party, but that's why in the Labor Party there is growing anger about this uncritical position towards Israel, which is going to have to change.
Anthony, you mentioned there's flare-ups every couple of years of this. Does this feel like more than a flare-up?
It does. it definitely feels like more than a flare-up. Like, I'm nearly 50 and I've been reporting on this issue for 20 years. This is unprecedented in my lifetime. And for most people who are reporting on this, they're saying that nothing has really ever happened. Israel's been around for 75-odd years. It's unprecedented. The scale of it, the number of... Now, civilians have died over the years, of course, but the sophistication of the attack, I think, shows, A, what's possible and what's capable, and I think also will, I think, make a lot of Israelis incredibly angry with Netanyahu, who's the prime minister, who is often supported, pretty blindly, I might add, by many global leaders, including our own.
But, Anthony, is it also a concern that Hamas, as you say, it's well organised and obviously been planned over a period of time, that Hamas is being supported by external forces as well, and that's a concern?
Look, it seems for a while, and it's often murky to get all these details. I've tried to do reporting on this over the years myself. It seems likely that Hamas has probably got some Iranian support. Whether Iran is directly involved in this, of course, I don't know. And outside forces maybe as well. I mean, that's possible. And I think that really goes to the heart of what I was saying before, that the Middle East is increasingly divided between Western or Israeli-backed autocrats, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, etc., and others, Iran, and particularly Iran, I guess, and Syria, although Syria doesn't play as much of a role anymore. These are all autocratic states. They're all dictatorships. And most of those other states are all backed by us, by the way. I mean, Iran is not, but the West, I mean. So, look, that is, I guess, a concern, but it shows again and again the majority of Palestinians are not fighting. The majority of Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza, 5 million of them, are under occupation. And I think a lot of people in the West, maybe, again, for the millionth time, will wake up today and say, what is the price that has to be paid for an endless Israeli occupation? This kind of thing cannot keep going for another 50 years.
And where does this go? You say it's an unprecedented, much more than a flare-up. I know it's impossible to predict the future, but where could this go?
Well, in the short to medium term, only bad places. And what I mean by that is that Israel is already bombing Gaza. I think what's happened is in the last 15 or so years, Hamas has ruled Gaza. I think it's very conceivable that Israel chooses to overthrow Hamas, which doesn't actually solve anything because there are 2.5 million Palestinians there who have to live their lives. So who's going to run their lives? Who's going to manage their education and schooling and all that kind of thing? Israel will have to do that if Hamas does not. And I think ultimately what needs to happen, as I've said it for many years and it hasn't made me popular, eventually and unavoidably, Israel has to talk to Hamas. You don't have to like them, you don't have to admire them, you don't have to, you know, hug them, but ultimately you have to talk to your enemies. I mean, there's so many conflicts around the world where people don't have to love who they're dealing with. You think when apartheid ended in South Africa, that Mandela was loving his white oppressors. Of course he wasn't. But eventually you have to talk to them. You have to. And that's an unpopular position to take in this kind of time, but it's vital in the end.
Yeah. All right. Anthony, thanks for making your time available from Sydney. Anthony Lewinstein, the independent journalist and author of The Palestine Laboratory. Jill joins us. Good morning.